Wonder if your week looked at all like this. What could be the most stress-causing events and activities of your last week? Think back over the last 7 days. If anybody runs out, I'm sorry. It's a good exercise for us to do, but I do wonder what caused the most stress, anxiety, mental attention and energy in your heart this last week. Maybe it was that you were late for something and you wanted to be on time. Maybe it was that you are overloaded with everything going on. Maybe it's that you are balancing your checkbook, trying to pay all the bills, and you don't know how it will match up. You don't know how it's going to work. Maybe it's that you're sitting in a traffic jam and you're waiting on the traffic jam. This morning I was going to pick up Jonathan. It's about 8 o'clock this morning and I was running a little behind and I got about to his house and the train tracks are right there in front of his place. And guess what was just hanging out on the tracks this morning? A nice big fat train. I thought to myself, Jonathan, he could climb over it. I don't have to go around. But I went around. I found myself frustrated with a train waiting on it. Something is taking too long. Maybe you didn't get enough sleep, and so that causes stress. Maybe you need a little more time to get something done. All of those things have two things in common. You know what they are? Our time and our money. How we spend the time that God has given us and the money he has entrusted to us cause a whole lot of anxiety in our life, don't they? Tons of anxiety. So this morning, we're going to look at an opportunity that we have to apply the disciplines we've been talking about so far to these two major stressors in all of our lives. Because how many would agree that is a stressor in my life, time and money? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's me. I'm right there. Right there. So how can we discipline ourselves? Because as we've been talking about, godliness is the result of a disciplined spiritual life. But a disciplined spiritual life hinges on really how we discipline ourselves with time, doesn't it? Have you ever said, you know what, I just can't get to my Bible reading. I don't have enough time. Man, I can't pray. I'm too busy. Man, I just don't have time to serve other people like we talked about last week. I'm too full already. So let's talk about the discipline of time management, the discipline of using our money for God's kingdom. And let's spend a little bit of time talking about each one, and then we'll talk about how it applies to Gospel Grace Church. Let's pray, though, together this morning. Heavenly Father, we have already admitted this morning that we are broken creatures. We are time-bound. We are worriers over finances. Lord, we need your help to steward these things well. Give us grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Steward time because it is short and God owns it. Talk about what the word steward means in just a second, but for the time being, let's begin talking into this and we'll kind of apply the word steward to all of it in just a second. Steward time, it is short, and God owns it. Your first blank on your sheet is, we've all been given a, this is so true, isn't it? A short, passing, unknown allotment of time that God allows us to redeem for him. It's short, it's passing, it's unknown. We don't know how much we'll have of it, we do not know when it will be over, but God gives us the opportunity to redeem it. What makes something extremely valuable? What makes something extremely valuable? Why is a diamond valuable? Somebody tell me why a diamond is so valuable. They're very rare, right? You will not go outside and reach down underneath the snow and just pull yourself up a big old handful of diamonds. Right? Right? Okay? Right. Okay. Checking. Make sure everybody's on the same page this morning. No, you won't go outside and find it. They're rare. That's what makes them so valuable. You know what's interesting? Time is very valuable because it's extremely short. But oftentimes we live our life walking around treating time as if it's diamonds just laying out on the side of the road. We can just use it, throw it away. It's always available. We can always have it. And yet James, the Word of God, says our life is but a vapor. You breathed this morning and the air came out of your mouth and it kind of moved around and then it was gone, right? Wouldn't that be weird if it didn't leave? Like, just walking around, this nice big cloud around your head. No, it's gone. That's our life. It's valuable. It's short. It's also passing. It's passing. The world and its evil days are passing away. It is gone. We say things like, I want to save some time on this. I want to make up time. I got to doing some other things, so I'm going to make up time. You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy me some time. You ever said this thing? None of those are really true, right? You cannot make up time. Once it's gone, it's gone. You cannot buy more time. Once it's gone, it's spent. It passes away. It's unknown. None of us know. Do not boast about tomorrow, Solomon says. For we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know how much time we have. So all of this right here, this description of a rare commodity that's passing away, that is unknown in a time where it's evil and we all struggle with it. Because probably those truths you knew. We all struggle with it. But yet we still waste time. In all of that, because of the work of Jesus, God gives us the opportunity to redeem it. You know the verse, we studied it this week in community groups. Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time, buying back the time because the days are evil. In the middle of all of this, we have an opportunity to use our time well, steward it well for God's kingdom. God gives us, God lets us use time well when we spend it on His kingdom and His purposes. The next blank on your sheet, we will all value time more the less we have of it. The less time we have, the more we value time, right? The longer we live, when we realize we're having less and less time on this earth, the more we value the time that we have. It's the same thing when your money is running out, right? When you're looking at your checking account, you know what's in savings, you know what you have, and you're looking at it, and all of a sudden, everything gets really valuable, right? The coffee that is $4 because it's got everything in it you want. Holiday drink, you know, pumpkin spice latte. Oh, suddenly $4 is like, now that is a treat when the money is close to the end of the month, right? Same thing's true with time. No matter what you think of time now, there will come a time when you look back on it and you will say, oh, I value that time much more now than I did before. We all know the quotes, but I think this one's extremely helpful for this. An English skeptic, Thomas Hobbes, looking back at the end of his life, says, if I had the whole world, I would give it to live one more day. That sound like the writer of Proverbs? At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline to the ear of my instructions. I am at the brink of utter ruin. The less we have, the more we value time. So the truth of God applied to this is we have an opportunity to live differently. God calls us, commands us to live differently, and then allows us to live differently. Here's your last blank under this point. We only steward time well if we discipline ourselves. We will only steward time well if we discipline ourselves. So let's apply this whole truth about discipline to this area of our life. There's two Proverbs passages that really show us a picture of someone who doesn't steward time well. The undisciplined person in the book of Proverbs is called the sluggard, right? Every time I hear the word sluggard, maybe you do this, I think of an animal. What animal do you think of when you think of a sluggard? A sloth. And I have procured a video of a sloth in full speed movement. this is not slowed down. One of the things that the sluggard says, there is a lion in the streets. I can't go out. As the door turns upon its hinges, so the sluggard turns on his bed. Every time I watch that, I'm like, that is absolutely hilarious. We will not grow. We will not grow in time usage if we don't discipline ourselves. And these two verses are hugely helpful. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no man can work. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So wherever you're at on the use of your time, and if we were all honest, we wasted time this week. We all wasted time this week. Let's all say, God, I want to grow in this, and you've told me that the way that I grow is if I apply myself to the disciplines. So we all apply ourselves to the disciplines. We say, God, you've called me to redeem time. I want to take steps in this. It's valuable. I want to redeem it. Second area that we can get rid of the sloth. They carried him across, wasn't that like hilarious? Second area I want to talk about stewarding is stewarding our money. And the truth is that it is all God's. It's all God's, and he lets us use it. Your blank under that is we are just managers of God's money. He owns everything. We are his managers. God owns time. It's all his. He allots it to us to use for his kingdom, to redeem and buy back. Money is all his. He allows us to manage it for him. The word steward is very important to understand what it means. It means this. A steward is someone who is entrusted with another person's wealth, and they are charged with the responsibility of managing it in the owner's best interests. A steward is someone who, it's not theirs, they are just entrusted with another person's wealth or property, and they're expected to carry out the owner's best interests. That's what we are with the finances and the resources that God has placed into our care. So your house, your car, your land, your investments. We call them things like, it's my house. Right? I call the townhouse that I rent my house. You know, the house that you call your house, it was probably someone else's house before it was your house. The car, God's car. It's his, and we are just entrusted with it. God owns everything. This is huge. We are just managers. We manage what God entrusts to us. And the beauty is that when we use what God entrusts to us in sacrificial, faith-filled giving, that is a worship to God. It is a worship. Paul talks about the gift from the Philippians, and he says it is a fragrant offering, an aroma that reaches God's nose, and it is well-pleasing to him. When we give in faith, in joy, God is pleased. It is worship. Now, it's not hard for us to understand worship when it comes to music playing and us singing and thinking about lyrics. Maybe even listening to the word in a service. But do you realize that when you sacrificially, joyfully give to God, that is as much worship as when you sing? Now, it does require faith to sing and believe certain things about God. I mean, we sing some things about God's goodness and his grace in the middle of trials that it requires incredible faith to sing. Doesn't it require extreme faith to give sacrificially to the Lord too? As you give, even this morning, if you're in your regular cycle of giving, as you give, would you remember the act of faith? The act of sacrifice that is. For you, maybe that means you adjust your pattern of giving so that you can actually experience that sacrificial step of worship. But in the times when you do, isn't there incredible joy? Incredible joy. Let's keep going. This will introduce our next point. This is so interesting about what happens when we have more of God's resources to deal with. So a study done in 2009. And of people in different income brackets, they check to see how much those people give on a yearly basis. So average income, average groups limit. Then they're giving as a percent of their income. Look at what happens as the resources increase. This is incredible. The poor are the most charitable. The more we have, the more difficult it is to let go. 4.3%. 2.5%, 2.7, 2.0, 2.1. In all of this, just like time, God grows us and rewards us as we discipline ourselves, as we give ourselves to this discipline to give joyfully out of love for God. It takes discipline. It takes discipline, doesn't it? This is something we really do have to apply ourselves to and say, God, I know you want to grow me this way. I don't really know that I love it yet. I don't know that I'm quite ready with the joyful. Look at these two passages. See that you excel in this grace also. This is something to grow in, that your love is genuine in giving. And then this next one, this always gets me. As each one is decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a, say that word with me, cheerful giver. And what does he do? As we cheerfully give, he is able to make all grace. He grows us in this discipline so that we can then enjoy it and love it. That's what happens, isn't it? So this week, take a step in your giving, because this is an area where you can say, God, I want to give out of love. I want to give joyfully. I want to sacrifice, but I'm not used to it. And quite frankly, right now, it's uncomfortable because I see the numbers. But as you give, God rewards and grows. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having, what does that say? All sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let's grow in this area. How does this apply to becoming Gospel Grace Church? What does it look like with us as a body, as a core team that's coming together to plant this church? What does it look like? It looks like that we would be eternally minded stewards of what God's given us. This is one of our core values. We've been working on this as a pastoral team. Because God owns everything, this is on the back side of your sheet, we commit as a church, this is who we are, both personally and corporately, to wise spending. That means we understand God owns everything. I mean, just looking at the front of this auditorium ought to be a reminder that we are not the owners. God has given us much. As a church, we understand God owns everything. We commit both personally, because remember, we will only be Gospel Grace Church to the degree that each of us individually apply ourselves to the spiritual disciplines. Personally, eternally minded stewardship, but then also corporately. So what does that look like? We will not hoard people or resources, but will gladly give to the church at large. We place a high priority on people above programs or facilities. Therefore, our investment of resources will reflect that. So what is Gospel Grace Church? It's a place where we know that God owns everything. He owns us. He owns everything we have. And so we gladly manage it in his kingdom. What do we have that we did not receive? What do we have that we did not receive? The last verses on your sheet speak of what we will do for eternity. Why do we do this? Because as a church, we worship God, and out of worship flows sacrificial giving of our time and our resources. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues and languages, that sounds a lot like the church to me, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God. He owns it, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And what are these people saying? Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God. Eternally minded stewards. Gospel Grace Church, let's all learn to say, I've been given an allotment of time, an allotment of resources that I am a steward over. I want to manage this well for God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your help today. God, we need your grace. Evident that we feel the stress of time and money. Evident that we feel the stress of wasting both of those things on foolish things. God, that picture of the sloth, that video that looks a lot like me a lot of the time with how I use my time. I need your help. Gospel Grace Church needs your help. God, I worry about what's going to happen with my finances, but God, I'm just a manager of your assets. Help me to use what I have for your kingdom. Help Gospel Grace Church, the men and women, the brothers and sisters in front of me, to use them for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. We'll meet back up here in about 7 minutes for our worship service. You're dismissed.